This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 299 pounds, back on the scale from the south shore of Nassau County, Long Island. It's the number one fuckboy. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine, still alive. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur Gimmers. Arthur is not in the studio because we have humans in the studio. First in-person record since Tom Hanks got COVID, which is my mark, BTHGC, before Tom Hanks got COVID, and of course, ATHGC, after Tom Hanks got COVID. That's how I split up the entire calendar. Fuck the Mayans. Also, Johnny Manheim is a recurring guest. They've been here multiple times themselves, together once before, separate once each. It's Dan Gregor and Doug Mand. Yep.
Whoa.
Holy shit. I am sweating.
You just threw us into the deep end of live comedy, right?
Wow.
Like, it's like, there hasn't been anyone here. I haven't done anything like this. And that was so intense.
I have not
I'm
done
sweating.
That in front. I've done that on Zoom
that
for so long that I've like forgotten what
did
it's
like.
Did
you feel any self-consciousness about us being in the room for it?
I did until I started. But then once I started, I like even your body language of like leaning back away from me spurs me on. As you guys know, as lifelong friends of mine,
right?
Your discomfort attracts me.
You're feeling you're feeling assaulted. Well, how about this?
Yeah. Just wait till I start the actual assault.
I won't stop harassing until you smile.
You'll love me by the time this interaction ends. You better promise to love me.
All I was thinking about, honestly, was like, oh my God, his fucking neighbors.
Oh, dude, it's been 2 years of me shouting that. Yeah. My upstairs neighbor is like an HR, like head of HR of a major organization. And he works from the room right above me and he speaks like five languages. So I hear him, like I can hear him if both of our windows are open, and he's having like the most peaceful conversations in like Tagalog, English, Spanish, whatever. And then I'm down here going, yeah, motherfucker.
This guy wants to fire you somehow.
Yeah, he's like, look, I'm going to reach an HR complaint to the fucking building manager.
he's having a huge meeting and he doesn't know why he suddenly has said fuckboy twice.
Yeah. They're like, hey, we're getting reports that people are saying hearing fuckboy in the background of your
oh, I'm sorry, I live above the number one fuckboy.
Oh, they're like, oh great, John Gabrus.
Oh, you're talking about John Gabrus? Oh. Why didn't you just say that? Why haven't we been over to your place?
Yeah, well, I'm the CEO of the Mayo Clinic. Of course I know who John Gabrus is.
Yeah, he's a test case where we've never seen arteries.
Didn't
like
we
that.
Want to talk about that new bone marrow transplant? No, fuck, you live above John Gabrus. Let's talk about that shit.
Nah, I ain't moving on. I got to hear more about this guy. Yeah. Here's wife's hot. dudes, I'm so stoked for the people to be in person. And part of the reason is tech... not your forte.
Oh, yeah. We tried to do this 2 days ago and instantly grandma'd out. We're like, John.
I realize this
cord goes into this cord.
When Doug sends me the most mom thing of like, can I just FaceTime you? This will be faster. It's like, whoa, okay, yeah. Let's just do it
even
in person.
Even texting instructions, I was like, no, nah, that's too advanced. I want to see your face and I want you
I
to watch
my boy.
Here, this is my finger going on to the reset button. Is that what you want me to do?
Hold it for how long?
Here's like, let's just fucking fuck COVID. I don't care if I get it. A bad case of COVID is better than walking Dan and Doug
truly.
I'll go to the ER for this.
No, I think COVID's gone, even though did I just see a headline that's like hundreds of people from different networks that were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner have all tested positive for COVID.
No, it's not
with a mask off.
It's not gone.
No.
It's always around.
It's always around, brother. I'm so stoked you guys are here. You're here because you have a movie that's hitting the screens. I don't know how we
hitting
phrase
the tiny screens.
Hitting the tiny screens. Some people play it on the big screen.
Yeah,
with the same app.
Home theaters, very popular nowadays.
Yeah. Kind of affordable.
Maybe you got a projector in your backyard.
This is a commercial for Wirecutter. Check it out. There's options, mid, low, and high.
That's my dream. Next big paycheck, I want to like redo my TV and sound system in the living room because I have like a sound bar and the mix is fucking off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Count Barlow only does so much.
Yeah, and I watch so many, like, 70s movies that are, like, mixed. So, where it's, like, gunfire is, like, too, like, blows your eardrums out, but all the dialogue you can hear, it's like,
you know,
again, worried about your neighbor here.
Jack Dolgens, who the man you need to talk to, he's, like, a sound obsessive. And he put together like a true surround sound system. He's invited Doug and I over for screenings. Exactly. And he's like, you hear that? Listen for the rain. Listen for the rain. And
this, like, is a very Jack story.
And we're like listening, and like there's like maybe a vague trickle in the background. And he is so excited. And Doug and I are like, Yeah.
And this costs you $2,800? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Well, then good money well spent.
Yeah, you can definitely hear the difference, Jack. Now press play. Now
I think
play.
This ER rerun does sound better. Thanks.
All the levels of Clooney's voice here. We're here to promote Rescue Rangers. That's going to be on Disney Plus.
May 20th.
Oh, hell yeah. Not out yet, I don't think. I think this will come out before May 20th.
Right. Shortly,
If we play it well. Maybe this weekend, the weekend of this airing.
Exactly.
Get in there. I saw an early, very rough cut with animatics, and I enjoyed the movie. So I'm stoked.
Thank you very much. I'm stoked
to see the full screening with you guys, and then also watch it on Disney. Watch it on my phone the way you guys were. You and Akiva was like, please watch this on your phone on a plane.
In 6 minute shit increments.
The dialogue's not important.
That wasn't what we spent the last 9 months of our lives working on. Oh, man. But like High and Mighty, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about apps.
And not
the fucking tech bro kind. I'm talking the appetizers, the appetizers, the food, man. We have to talk about food.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think that sounds like the move.
Yeah, it sounds much better than trying to sell people on Disney Plus for an hour.
Give the people what they want. They want to talk about the smaller meal before the big meal.
Man, what age were you when you realized that meals were about the apps and not the entree? Like, I feel like I was in like my late 20s, and I was like, dude, what if we just got like four apps and split them? And Tiffany was like, yeah.
Mozzarella sticks at age like 8 is when I learned. Like,
when I was like, yeah, fuck waiting for the fucking chicken Caesar salad to come.
I learned pretty early too. There was a place called Alligators. I lived right outside Philly, and it was like, I guess you'd call it maybe like an upscale, like, Houlihan's kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
But upscale is, and we'd have all our birthdays there. And Charles Barkley was famous for going there after games and stuff.
Oh, hell
that guy
yeah.
knows how to eat appetizers.
And they had fucking potato skins there that, like, and that's when you say appetizers, that's always been the first thing I think of with it.
TGI Fridays and Outback were sort of the activation of appetizers for me as like that. Those were like
appetizers activated.
I'm learning about appetizers now. Kookaburra wings, cheesy ranch fries, blooming onion, Jack Daniel's strips,
waffle fries. Don't taste like waffles, just shape of waffles.
Adding information.
Learning.
Scanning through menus of fucking places with trumpets on the wall.
Add cheese to be a real fat fuck.
But those were my first, like, when I was like, well, I don't care what I eat for my entree. Like, I guess I'll get a chicken sandwich or something, but the Alice Springs chicken or sweet chook of mine, if we're still going with the Outback shit. But
might as well.
But I was like, I'd rather have bloomin' onion and wings and, like, be full.
Give me nachos for a meal.
Oh, dude. Just order all the appetizers. That is actually my dream meal, when you just order every appetizer on the menu.
When you have enough people at the table that the waiter does not get... Like,
doesn't
shame you.
Yeah.
That look, I've gotten one time a guy was like, that's a lot of food to me and Tiff in Australia, in Hawaii. And Tiffany looks at the waiter and goes, you know, he's going to take that as a challenge now. Like, you know what? Like, I'm going to deal with, he's going to be like crying on the toilet all day tomorrow because he's going to prove to you that this isn't too much.
Not a lot of food.
Not for me.
This is me being going light. Fuck you.
I'll get, you know what? Throw another one on. It's another surf and turf.
Yeah, I think about appetizers a lot. I think as we get older, like, it's happening less that we order it and really go out. Also, since moving to LA, I don't know the last time I was at like a Chili's or a bar and grill type spot.
Now,
like,
they're called small plates.
They're
right?
called small plates. And fuck that. I want a big ass plate too.
I want a big ass plate of appetizers. I want multiple small plates. Yeah.
But like the fancification of like comfort food is the modern cool
like
restaurant.
The, like ramping up the quality of comfort food of like, this is an organic potato laid down with comté cheese and sliced pork belly. It's like, it's a tater skin. It's like, yeah, no, but it costs $28.
Right. When you order it, it's not a tater skin. We know where this potato came from. Single origin.
I just ordered a $35 Caesar salad at a restaurant I just went to. It's like, it was the epitome. It's basically just like a bar menu, but it's a very, very fancy restaurant. Beyonce Knowles goes there. It's her favorite burger. It's a $40 burger.
Thank you for giving me her last name.
Beyonce Sugarman, my
attorney.
My attorney's first cousin. I mean, let me tell you how.
What restaurant was this?
Horses.
Shit. I've heard a lot of compliments.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Terrible name. Makes me think about eating horses.
Ran into Aziz on the way out.
Oh, that's how you know it's good.
Cut this.
What? He's there. He ate at a restaurant. There's nothing to cut.
Wait, Aziz who? Aziz Sugarman?
Aziz Sugarman. Married to Beyonce Sugarman, yes.
Aziz and Beyonce were there. The Sugarmans, if you will. Yeah.
You might know him. Are you into flea markets? That's the kind of their thing. They're like always there. Let me tell you how little I am into the fancy, like the fancification of appetizers. For me, the cutoff was like fried mac and cheese balls, which happened like 15, 20 years ago. And I was like, fuck this.
That was a bridge too far for you.
Too fancy for you?
Yeah, too much, too trying too hard. Just like,
yeah, I never order that.
It's gross.
I never even order the mac. Like, I love mac and cheese, but like, it's proliferation through like gastro pubs where it's like,
don't get it.
Lobster, bacon, mac and five cheese.
It's never as good as it sounds either. It's always, you always get, and you're like, you pretend to like it. You're like, oh man, this is life changing.
Oh, this is so rich and it's worth it.
Yeah, oh man. Yeah.
No. I'd rather come home and have Kraft or Annie's.
Annie's is better than Kraft. Annie's takes everything good about Kraft and then makes you feel less guilty because you think it's organic.
Like that fucking greenwashing of life where it's like, well, actually, I pay extra to have bamboo towels, so I'm like not as bad of a person.
Flush them down the toilet.
Continue jamming these bamboo baby wipes down toilets, creating fat bergs. Yeah,
Light them on fire.
Shove them down the throat of a koala.
Wait, speaking of koala, this is just a random zoo story I heard, is that in some zoo, I forget where, a fucking wild fox broke in and killed 22 flamingos. Like,
what?
I'm thinking about flamingos as prey. It's like they are the like most useless animals, and they're all always in like a crazy ass pen.
They're on one leg, one rickety leg.
And there's 100 of them always.
Their eyes look like they see nothing.
Yeah. So you imagine a fox being like, no fucking way am I able to get one of these guys.
You know they sleep with their wing over their head.
Do they?
Yes. So like literally, like they're just like on one leg, wing over their head. The fox comes in and he's just like, hello, hello. You're not going to do anything? Okay. Time to murder.
When it comes to appetizers, do you like flamingo drumsticks or flamingo flats better?
Ooh.
Super long. The drumsticks I find easier to eat for me.
Yes. One ounce of meat on like a 4 foot. It's like a giant lollipop.
Remember when we were kids and those giant pencils were cool, like the novelty pencils?
Yes, that's what the wing looks like.
It's like 2.5 feet, but it's like a 1 inch diameter.
Would you know, I will say this. You know why flamingos are pink?
Because they eat so much shrimp.
That's exactly right. And so do you think...
Pointscaper.
Do you think that if you got to eat a flamingo, they'd be like a shrimp chicken?
Oh, yeah. It would be shrimp flavored.
Ooh, a shrimp flavored chicken. I
want to eat enough shrimp that I have like a light pink hue to me.
I believe in you.
That's kind of how my experience of eating...
We can get that thing going today, right now.
My experience of eating alligator was kind of like that. It was just one time, but it tasted a little like chicken. It had like a little bit of a... shrimpy kind of seafoody vibe.
Yeah, it's the texture of gator, I think, that has like usually served fried.
A little sponginess up to it, or I don't know.
Yeah, it's like biting through like a harder scallop.
Exactly.
Like a firmer scallop.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct. I had it one time too. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. It works. It's delicious. Now, go-to app for me, hard not to order wings when they're on the menu.
Yeah, I agree. Doug and I just went out for burgers and I saw the wings on the menu and I was like, well, we're getting wings too. You got to get the wings.
Yeah, you got to get table wings.
Table wings.
And there's a certain time in your life where I feel like you get, like, there is a moment where you get a little self-conscious about eating wings in public. Oh yeah. There was a moment where I was like, I can't believe I used to just like get sauce all over my face and hands and eat
with suck
like,
my and, fingers.
You know, like yeah. Like ranch and saliva connecting like the bone to my lips from like a foot away, and you're like, and then there's another, then you turn another corner where you go, well, I like them, and they're they're low carb. Well,
fuck you for low fuck carb. You for thinking what I think you're thinking, but I can't be quite sure you're thinking it.
I'm not stopping, bro.
No one said anything about stopping. Well, I'm not. I'm getting three orders.
Good luck. I'm gonna get wings for my appetizer, and then a different kind of sauce as my wings for dinner.
Who you're fighting with?
I'm just your waiter.
My cardiologist. My gastrointestinal. My GI doc.
Yeah, I fucking love wings.
Wings.
I feel like also like the place around here that we get that's like quote unquote healthier is the pizza place has like baked wings.
Lucifer's.
Lucifer's and Fresh Brothers.
All of a sudden the baked wings made me be like, oh yeah. Oh, I can eat 1,000 of these.
That's when I want to indulge and be healthy here. Yeah. I make like a salad and bake like 2 dozen wings for myself in the oven.
Which
and
is like 8 pounds of chicken skin.
Right. Well, the thing that really like I'm sure vegans are like loading their peaceful guns now.
They're peace guns.
They're gonna shoot me with lavender. But I feel like the moment that I broke on like my crazy wing habit is like I used to make like 3 dozen wings for myself on the weekend and eat them in like 2 sittings or one. And then I was like, 3 dozen wings. That's 36 wings. That's 18 chickens that I killed to like eat just their feet.
It's so wild. Whenever you think about that, it's really fucking crazy. If you go to like any like when I used to go to like bars on Sunday to watch football and just like the piles of wings, just thinking about what that number really is.
Yeah. And I think chicken will be like the last animal we give up on because it is like so dumb and barely alive. You know what I mean? Where it's just
I never need to give a personality to a chicken. It's fine.
It's like, I get it with cows and pigs. They're charming. They're smart.
Now we're going to kill these dummies.
Yeah. David Simon, the Wire guy, he was on an episode of, I think it was Ugly Delicious.
Yes, I saw this.
And they're talking about chicken. And he's like, yeah, I get it, man. You fall in love with these animals. You see a cute cow, a beautiful pig. You don't want it. He's like, but you see this motherfucker in your yard? Does he show a picture of like a crazy chicken? He's like, dude, you got to eat this thing. You got to kill this thing. And it's like this is not like, oh, I'm attached to it now. They're like fucking pigeons. You know?
I have a 2-year-old. And so, and I'm already in this weird
Holy
place.
Shit. I know.
Where,
imagine this is the reveal. Neither of us knew.
Congratulations.
Where'd you get it?
I now have a 2-year-old.
I found it. So we're in this place where like we're both giving her food and she started to understand both the animal and the food.
Yes.
And it's this complicated moment where you're like, how much do I have? Like her favorite doll is a lamb. And so it's like when we're like about to eat lamb, it's like, do
my favorite food is a gyro.
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, do we explain like this is the same thing? And we actually avoid it with that because she's so in love with this lamb doll. But the chicken has proven to be not an issue.
Right.
Like, there's chickens in our neighborhood. A guy has a chicken coop a couple houses down. And so she, like, likes to walk from, like, our house to see the chickens. And she's like, see chickens. And we'll go see the chickens. But, like, without, like, complications, she, like, goes, eat chicken. Like, like it's like...
Even, like, it's ingrained in us as kids. Yeah. Like, you know, you can eat. Like, it's biological. Right. It's like, eat this fucking thing.
We don't care.
Stay alive.
We have the same thing, and my daughter is 4 and a half.
Watch.
A reveal.
Yeah. Seems like you're just trying to win.
You're still
mine's even older. I have a 7-year-old.
Whoa.
I'm leaving. But you can see the connection being made. I got to tell you, I think you just talk about lambs. I don't think they don't care. They like the deliciousness.
But nothing
has slowed my daughter down. You could see it in her head and be like, there's a moment where she's like, oh, yeah, I guess that kind of sucks, but this is fucking good.
I saw some video that went around for a while of like a young Spanish or Portuguese girl getting octopus. And then she's like asking, but isn't the octopus in the sea? And then she's like, finds out, she's like, but why would we eat them? And then it's just like, oh, that's really touching.
Yeah.
But also, I think I was a kid. I was like, I like cow. And then it's like, here's a cow in between two pieces of bread. I'm like, I like this more.
The amount that
it's a bummer when you think about it. It's awful.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Kid culture is so shockingly based around edible animals, like farm animals.
Right.
Like, I mean, from old McDonald's to like every children's book, every children's toy.
Everything
like,
we eat.
They're so monetizing the idea of like, a farm. You want to like spend time on a farm. Your favorite thing is animals. And then likewise, they never make any acknowledgement that you're also eating all of those animals. You're only talking about the animals because they're the animals you eat.
A cow goes, no, a cow doesn't make any noise.
A cow
it's
goes,
fucking, right. It got the pneumatic hammer, bolt to the head. Fucking No Country for Old Men to the head.
Yeah, right.
Anton Chigurh killed that fucking cow, and now we're eating it.
For your burger enjoyment.
Yeah, a cow goes thud because we just gas all of them.
Gas chambers for cows?
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, was that too much for your thin-skinned fuckers? We are murdering these animals, and you're eating them. You're eating them, so you should know what it's like in there.
I do.
And the band played on. I don't have animal eating guilt anymore because I'm just knocking shit off my shelves all over the place. I don't have animal guilt anymore because I really did limit my intake of beef and pork. And like, because Tiffany gave it up. So that was kind of like, and then also I was just like, oh, if I make these things more of a treat, they're much more enjoyable. And it's like, I stopped making like pork at home and be like, now I'll order bacon at a restaurant. And be like,
how much pork at home were you making?
A lot, dude.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I would like cook bacon on a Friday and then eat that. And then like always had like sausages in the freezer to
I was just wondering if you were just doing like chops and
stuff. Yeah, a couple of chops here and there, but mostly, you know, little pancetta.
Now you're describing, I'm like, oh yeah, I would do all that. That sounds great.
The pork chop, whenever I see a pork chop on a menu, I'm always like, oh, interesting. Like, and it's the thing that like no one gets, but then I've seen someone get it three times and it's always fucking amazing.
Yeah, because if it's on, it's one of those dishes where it's like they know that it's a small enough like order that people are like not getting it all the time, so it has to be the best fucking pork chop in the world for the chef to be like, no, this is worth it.
I've always I really like good pork chops, but I feel like for me a pork chop is something I almost never order.
Never. That's what I'm saying.
I know it'll be good, but it's also like that's not what it's rarely what you want.
Never what you're thinking about.
Because if you want something like that. A bone-in steak is going to hit better than a pork chop for some reason.
But
I don't know. And
if the waiter tells me, like, this pork chop you got to have.
Yeah. If it's got the word Kurabata in front of it or whatever, I'm like, I'm in. Let's go, baby. They're like, you don't know what that means.
That's a squash.
Mr. Roboto, I know what it means.
Domo arigato. Okay.
I want this pork chop because of the unrelated vegetable.
Appetizers are a weird thing. This was in the pandemic. I lost weight. One of the few people who did that. And it was because I stopped going to restaurants.
Sure. Yeah,
when you cook for yourself at home, what you don't do
is
make multiple courses.
That's exactly right.
And it's crazy.
And cook with less butter and less sugar and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you cook with like, and just the fact that you're like watching what you make is like.
Well, it's a pain in the ass to make another course.
Right. It's like, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to. But like at home, I'm like, all right, let's make dinner. We make a nice dinner. We eat it. But like if I was out at a restaurant, I'd be like, oh, that's a nice dinner. Should we eat a shrimp quesadilla and some
also get
before?
Everything on the appetizer menu?
And it's like, oh, yeah, this is enough food for two people. It's like, but we should have probably the same amount of calories 30 minutes before we eat this.
Right. Exactly.
So your problem is you eat at home before or something like on the way to the place.
No. I mean like
the appetizer version.
The appetizer, like you would be like, oh yeah, a steak dinner and a shrimp scampi.
Your body just makes room for it, but you don't need it.
No. Yeah. And that's the thing. And then my eyes have become so much bigger than my actual appetite. Like, and online ordering has eliminated like that actually seems like a lot. It's like, click. Yeah, just
because also they immediately become leftovers in my mind. I'm just like, oh, like whatever. It's a leftover if I don't eat it. And
I rarely am putting shit in the fridge at the end of a Postmates order. It's like, well,
if it's going in the fridge, it means I didn't like it, and it's getting thrown out of the
in
fridge.
2 days,
in 3 days.
I'm just punting it 2 days.
I'm giving it to my 2-year-old as lunch the next day. I hated it. She'll love it.
This is lamb vindaloo. You know your little dom? That's this. My sauce.
Drowning in this creamy, creamy sauce.
Mary had a little vindaloo.
I think this is actually the thing that our children's generation will most judge us for. Like, people in the future will be like, how many animals did you eat all the time? what the fuck? Are you crazy? Like the way that we like look at...
Because there's only eight left animals.
Well, because it's like it was organized torture. It was, we'll have access to like unlimited vegan meat that's like perfect.
And when they unpack like what we did to the environment well with
animals that don't exist anymore that we ate into extinction.
I know. Ooh, have you guys ever eaten an animal that doesn't exist anymore?
No.
I think I've eaten like some stuff that people don't eat elsewhere.
I'm not allowed to talk about what I've done.
But. Yeah. I feel like I had horse meat somewhere and I forget where.
Oh.
Well, horses is where Beyonce goes.
Ms. Knowles, if you will.
Ms. Knowles. Yeah. Ms. Knowles.
Thank
and
you for clarifying.
Ms. Knowles, I'm sorry.
It's Ms. Knowles if you're nasty. I think along those lines, I do also think I'm hoping the younger generations are like, wait, you used to like hold a little screen in your hand and like hunch over and look at it and shit. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll also be like, they're like, the number one cause of death was auto accidents for like 40 years in a row. And no one ever stopped driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, when smoking killed everyone, we're like, we should stop smoking. Yeah. Driving is just killing everyone. It's like, how about seatbelts? How about no drinking allowed? How about no tints? It's like, no, that doesn't help us.
What about a stranger who has no training doing it for you?
In a Prius. That'll help everyone. Exactly. That'll be less car accidents to die if they're all Uber and Lyft drivers.
How about everyone
19-hour shifts to fucking...
Right. Everyone gets in the same car with the guy who hasn't slept all day.
It's an insane... I'm hoping that kids will eventually be like, I can't believe... Yeah, and I think eating animals will be the thing.
Something where it's like, well, that's so unnecessary. The vegan meat is good.
The equivalent of like when we see films of a doctor smoking next to pregnant ladies.
Yeah. Or like the casual drinking and driving. Like how... My parents' generation was like, I only had 11 beers and I had two cups of coffee. Right. So
then you're good to drive home our newborn.
Yeah. Load the kids. I remember distinctly as a kid fighting to let my dad drive because we didn't like the way my mom drove and she was like the designated driver.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh,
she was like sober.
Was
my dad was drunk. We're like, let dad drive. And it's like, we're on his side. Like, that's how fucked up we were as kids.
Insane.
Yeah. We're like rooting for the drunk driver to take us home because we don't know how bad it is yet.
I remember once white knuckling a car ride as like probably a, like very young kid because I had misunderstood the phrase don't drink and drive and my dad was drinking like a Coca-Cola while he was driving and I was like, and in the middle of the ride I started crying and I said, pull over please. You're drinking and driving.
Tiff's got stories of like sitting on her dad's lap when he's like wasted behind the wheel and she's steering and he's doing the pedals.
Oh my God.
Holy shit. And I'm like, babe, Jesus. And then I'm like, oh my God, I remember like a lot of like my dad being in the car with my dad and he's obviously drunk. He used to pump the brakes to the beat of the music at lights.
No.
Like, oh God.
And the car would be like, boom. And I'm like, dad is so clearly wasted. And he would pick me up because he worked like 3 to 11 in the city. So he'd be back on Long Island by like 11:30 midnight.
Uh-huh.
And so we'd always be like on weekends, and he always worked weekends because the news happens. And he's like, I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up at your friend Michael's house at, 11:30. And I'll be like, I'm drunk with my friends. It's like 11:20. I'm like, okay, like wash my hands and face. Like, all right, I'm going to be okay. I'm getting in the car with my dad. There's no way he'll know. And then we just, neither of us say it. It's like, oh yeah, he knew. He didn't know I was drunk because he was too drunk.
Wasted.
To say,
just looking at each other completely glassy eyed. Like, you good?
Just, have a good night.
Yeah,
good
night.
It's just a split screen. Your dad in the car slapping his own face. You slapping your own, taking a mint, drunk some water. Hey,
you know how fast
night?
You guys were going? Like, an officer pulls us over. Yeah. We're both just like panicked. And there also another big thing my dad used to do is like come home late at night from work or something and make burgers. He'd be like, who wants a burger? And I never understood. I'm like, dad, how are you so hungry? It's like 1 a.m. And I was like, and now I'm like, oh, in hindsight, he's just like, and so then when I'm old enough in high school, when he's picking me up at these parties and before I have a car and he's bringing me home, he's like, you want burger?
Yeah.
That's all I want. Dad, let's go.
Burger?
All I want to do is not interact with you when I get home, but if you're going to cook me a cheeseburger, I'll talk to you for 20 minutes about whatever fucking bullshit you got to get off your chest.
That was a real pandemic loss for me, was getting drunk and
drunk
eating
food.
Drunk food. Because I don't get drunk by myself very much. I was like a social drunk. And so
that's how I ended up, same for me, because I ended up getting healthier because I used to like be like, well, if I'm doing a show tonight, I gotta treat myself to like a quesadilla on the drive home.
Right. It was like, well, if I'm doing a show, then all right, I'm gonna go have some drinks afterwards. Well, now that I've had some drinks afterwards, I gotta have a sober up snack.
Yeah, like I earned a meal. Like it's so funny. There's like the fitness version of like, yo, we did a nice hike, we earned a big brunch. Yeah. Then there's like another one where it's like, I drank 11 beers, I deserve cheese.
Yeah.
It's like,
wait.
It's the right thing to do for my body, so I'm not hungover.
Yeah. Exactly. I gotta think about tomorrow. I want to have just diarrhea, but no headache.
That's the math I used to do. I couldn't, if I get drunk and I eat like a piece of pizza would repeat on me, like sandwiches wouldn't work. But I found that cookies were like great to like load my stomach up.
That's the healthy choice.
So I could always like talk myself and be like, well, I'm going to need to get one of these gigantic bodega cookies followed by the three-year-old Rice Krispie treat that is the size of two fists. They're for $8.
That's the best. Like when like you go to 7-Eleven for your like drunk snacks or stoner snacks when you're a kid and you're like, I guess I'll have two pepperoni and cheese sticks, a bag of chocolate-covered pretzels, and a Powerade. It's like, what the fuck are you
eating? It's healthy. It's healthy.
We're talking clothing over here. Stitch Fix, baby. Oh, man. When it comes to looking good, they've got you covered. Say goodbye to endless browsing and hello to fresh picks curated for your size and taste. It eliminates the shopping part. It's like a montage in like an 80s movie. People just holding up shirts and you're like, nope, yes, nope. All you got to do is take a few minutes, set up your Stitch Fix style profile, answer some questions. Then the expert stylists go to work and they find items exclusively for you. Every piece is handpicked for you, size, style, and budget. Send you 5 pieces to try on at home. Keep what you love and send back what you don't. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are all very easy and very free. No subscription required. Try once or set up automatic deliveries. There are no hidden fees. Sign up for Stitch Fix and get the season's latest pieces from women, men, and kids. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/mighty to get $20 off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/mighty to get $20 off your first purchase. Limited time offer. Purchase within 2 days of sign up. That's stitchfix.com/mighty, baby. Get some. I got a dope ass Hawaiian shirt from them that I have a few great shirts that fit, and now I know new brands that work for me, and I know Stitch Fix pulls it for me. It's a true delight. stitchfix.com/mighty. Losing the late night meal in the pandemic and then losing like multi-course dinners in the pandemic
is what dropped pounds
and then really readjusted to me to like how much I actually need to survive.
Sure.
I was convincing myself that like, no, you like, this is not enough food. You like need more food.
Right.
Oh, and I'd be like, there's fuck dude. No, you haven't eaten since like 7 p.m.
Your body's breaking down.
No one's
down.
Supposed to live like this. Meanwhile, people would go days. Hunter-gatherers would go days, and they wouldn't get hangry. That wasn't a thing.
Yeah, no.
It was just like their body used what was in there, and then...
And then what I started doing in the pandemic, and I'm going to activate you here, is I started not eating like lunch. I gave up breakfast because I was like, I can't be making 3 meals a day at home. It's like killing me. So I stopped.
The dishes alone makes me want to kill myself.
I don't have a dishwasher.
This soap bill is out of control.
Bro, we're running no dishwasher day and night. I can barely sleep.
Call it joint, but call it hell.
Shaboosh. I hate the noise.
Yeah, to be fair, I put my plates in the laundry machine. I think it's a bad idea.
Look at these pruny fingers. I can't do this all day.
I got gloves.
Oh, I had to get gloves. So not to mention my glove budget.
Yeah, and I'm like, nah, I'm up to my fucking neck and glove money.
Yeah.
But because I used to think I needed to eat before I went to the gym when I powerlift, and that was true for a while. But then I just got myself off of that.
Get used to it.
Yeah, right. You get used to it. And I'm like, oh, it's much. And then I started waiting till like 2:30, 3 p.m. to have my first meal, like post gym, and I would have post exercise. Maybe it was just a walk or lifting in the yard or whatever. And then I had my first lunch, and then have like dinner at 8 and be like good for the night. And I'd this is enough food to survive on. Yeah. Like, it's a different story if you're like having a crazy aggressive weekend or whatever, doing a bunch of shit. Yeah, you can eat more food. But I really, I had fooled myself into what the amount or the
what
number
you needed
was.
For your body to run and to not be dizzy or and to be at your yeah no it's bullshit yeah
I'm looking at like weird diets right now and I just
they always work so that's
they
good.
Always work and so I just
shopping for a weird diet that fits like
I'm
what
in
you
the
want.
Market for something exactly. I'll do for 11 days
that's
and
right.
then,
that's
and then
right.
put on more weight after
exactly that's my goal and so I just a couple days ago did an all potato day.
What the fuck?
This is the dumbest day.
I could tell you safely that that's not the diet to go on.
Are
like,
you serious?
I was like, it was Penn Jillette lost a lot of weight on an all potato diet, and I was like, I'll try that for a day.
That seems insane. And also trying a diet for a day is it's really funny to be like, I was keto for a day. I did high carb for a day. And it's like, and none of them worked. It's like, no,
you're basically just eating. You're eating everything you want. I did the French fry diet, obviously.
Exactly.
I like you look at your shopping for diets and you're like, okay, Atkins, keto, veggie, vegan. All potato. Okay. Try this one. Don't think that's the ones that I've proven to work for
people. Don't think I don't see you, Italian hero diet. I'll be seeing you in a
solo mortadel. I'm in.
Okay. Just eating cold cuts from the bottom of the fridge all day? Right. Interested.
That is keto.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, no, the potato diet was so, I did find myself being like, I'm quite dizzy.
You were probably blood sugar went through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Much starch for the first time.
Yeah. You're doing great. Wheat's good for you. This is like a, right? It's better than drinking.
Hey, man, can I get you a potato?
Well, yeah. So I'm doing intermittent fasting and I've been doing it for a couple months now. I went to the doctor and I have like obscenely high cholesterol. Doctor was immediately like, this is bad. And
I went to the doctor.
She runs in my family.
And I got like this is like not like a joke high blood pressure that you have.
Right.
I got like the too real of a talk.
Wait a minute. There's a joke high blood pressure?
Yeah, I think that's what you have.
Yeah.
It's wacky. Oh. But it won't kill you.
Why don't you dress with more potatoes?
It's an even funnier joke when you're all fucked up on potatoes too. But and the first thing he said was, other than I'm going to put you on statins, which I know people have varying degrees of, feelings about. But he was like, we got to get you on that immediately.
I'm on like, they added a third blood pressure medication to my system. I'm like, they're like, this is too risky. Like you're going to like, the way he described it, he's like, the wear and tear you're putting on your body by just running with this high blood pressure for so long is so bad for you. And like, he saw in my face that I was like, oh no, I got to get my life in order.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to
haunt
me.
I start tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going out to lunch. I'm going to start tomorrow.
Yeah. But he said, he was like, dude, try intermittent fasting. He's like, just get onto that. And so I'm doing it and it's fucking.
What's your window? This is something I'm very versed in.
Okay. So the window was started as I could eat between 12 and 8.
Okay.
And so I started doing that. And then I read this book called like 2 Meals a Day. I've moved it to when I can do 1 to 7. Because the smaller the window, kind of
the better. Yeah.
And in this book, he's like, the guy's like, if you can go to 3 or 4. Do it. Like he's like there are days where I have one meal in a day. He's like, and I feel great that day. I will say like right now I'm so fucking hungry. I'm so hungry. It's not just because I'm high.
Yeah,
I'm really hungry.
We're high and we're talking about appetizers.
Yeah,
haven't eaten yet today.
Yeah, right. this is a sadomasochistic fucking.
Like my entire life is this.
But it's totally. Not knowing when I'm allowed to eat or not allowed to eat, and then knowing that I'm sticking with it makes life easier because it's just like, nope, can't do it.
Right.
It's, I go out to breakfast. It's like I order a black coffee. It's depressing sometimes.
Yeah.
But then I do always feel after I'm like, yeah, that wasn't so bad. And like, I do start to see the diminishing returns of shitty food because I'm just like, I feel better now. Like, so it's been kind of eye opening, and I'm not doing late night binge eating, which during the pandemic was insane.
Yeah, that 8
the fourth
to like
meal 11
shit.
O'clock.
Yeah, the fourth meal like shit would get me
standing, eating, shoveling shit into my mouth, and you just can't do that. I like
When I was at like my healthy, I was still like taking like 3 tablespoons of almond butter to the dome at like 12, 15. You know what I mean? Like right before bed. It's like just a quick 600 calories and like 40 grams of fat. Like all good fat, but I'm just like wake up in the morning with fucking almond oil coming out of your asshole. Yeah. But the other thing that like intermittent fasting accidentally does too, that a lot of people don't realize, is you just can't eat as much if you have like, you just can't jam.
And that's the other thing I was going to talk about was like I want to eat. I still like all the same shitty foods, but I get kind of sick now if I eat too much. Like my appetite has shrunk.
Like your belly's shrunk
like
almost.
It hurts.
Oh.
I'll still kind of eat through that. That's still what the addiction is. Like
yeah.
Still,
I broke my. Dude, same thing happened to me, and then I shot a travel show, and I broke it. Like, I had fixed myself in the pandemic where I was like, my consumption is normal. I'll still, when we go out to dinner, I'll still get wings, and I'll still get, but I just, my consumption is normal. And then I broke it with the travel show, because it's like, for free. It's like, but then it's not even like anything about, like, I just have no
willpower. I'm entertaining people with my eating again, so.
Yep, okay, time to risk my life for other people's enjoyment. Classic neighbors.
And then you build it back out again, and you're like, oh, I don't feel like shit anymore, but it's nice to feel like shit. I'd like to now, the next step would be like listening to my fucking body and being like, enough. Like, you know, yes, you just like, there's your brain starts doing the, I deserve it. I've been really good. So I'm going to get this other shit. But it's like, I feel sick right now. And then the other thing is that Jack Dolden is doing it too. Talk about Jack again. And he was like, when's the last time you left food on your plate?
Never. I've never. Yeah. I don't even leave food on Tiffany's plate.
I 100%. Like not a bit. I've been finishing my meals from start to finish forever.
Yeah, since like 1988.
Have you? And so recently I've tried to like just leave 2 or 3 bites and be like, I'm not necessarily hungry anymore. And that's been hard.
That's crazy. But that's the shit that like opens your mind. The phrase I started using in the pandemic, and listeners of this podcast are probably tired of me hearing this, but like I started to think about future Gabrus for the first time, and not even like 50-year-old Gabrus, I would think about like tomorrow Gabrus. Right. I'd be like, you don't want to deal with like 40 minutes on the toilet in the morning and feeling sluggish. Like you want to get up and get shit done. So it's like and then you make the right decision that night, you cut your food off and you wake up the next day and you're like, oh fuck, I'm doing
so
much.
Always
like,
do this.
And then you go like, remember this.
Remember this next
like
time.
Not hungover and not full and like not like with good sleep and no acid reflux. Remember this for next time you make the and
always.
God, does your brain like and they're out to get us. We're up against like the brightest minds of our generation are trying to sell us garbage. Like in every
moment of
the smartest people in the world are working to addict us to unhealthy
things.
It's
the NBA playoffs right now. And I'll tell you probably the hardest part about the NBA playoffs is that I'm watching like live commercials again.
Yeah.
And the amount of appetizers on live commercials is they have
this guy's a pro, brings it back to the subject.
They have an Arby's commercial where like literally the joke of it is like this is the best wings you can buy with the best celery sticks, which are chicken nuggets.
It's a good joke.
But it's like, I literally now all I can think about, even when I see celery, is how much I want chicken nuggets.
Dude, that's when you start watching like real TV or paying attention here. It's like all that, like I like unfollowed some Instagram accounts because I'd be like, all right, no more like, look at this Monte Cristo sandwich made with like 11 pounds of beef. I'm like, I gotta fucking like, it's like, in the pandemic, I was like, let me unfollow all these female powerlifters and all of these food accounts because.
And your masturbation went down 300%.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I stopped fingering my mouth before meals and stuff.
I stopped fucking dumbbells.
Now, intermittent fasting sounds hard for some people. If they're hearing it, it sounds crazy. But just imagine you just go like, from 2 to 8, I can eat whatever I want, you know, or if you're a late sleeper and stay up late, you can do 4 to 10. My doctor one time said it's more about not getting horizontal so close to your meal. It's like, it's not the late at night that's bad.
Don't go to
if you're staying up.
If you're moving and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if you're like awake and doing shit, it's like, okay. If it's, there's a couple of hours space between you finishing your meal and you lying down to go to bed. But as one of the best feelings in the world is to like get full and go to bed. And I have to break that. My brain.
Yeah.
And that's why you have, like, if you do the eating window with a cutoff
and you got to respect the cutoff,
You're like, okay, I want to eat and go to sleep.
My wife, also, my going to sleep hungry is the hardest thing. Going to sleep hungry is so hard, but it's also really the way you lose weight too. Because
well, your body thinks you're going to sleep hungry, and it hits you with a little bit of like, you're gonna be dead tomorrow. Like this is not enough food, yeah. And you're like, fuck, am I gonna be okay?
And you're also looking for any reason to do it. Exactly. So you listen to that voice, and you're like, well, I got to do this.
And you wake up in the morning, and you feel fine, and you're not like starving to death, and you're like, oh, I can make it till 1 p.m. to eat today.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, body, I'm starting to understand. Just sort of like the way your body reacts to like a big hill the first time, like when you're getting back in shape, you're like, ugh. But when you're feeling like your best, and you've been hiking or been getting exercise, see the hill, and you're like, oh, this would be fun, you know, like. But your body wants you to be like, no, homie, stay on this path.
Yep.
Or your psychology, I should say, not your body. Your body's like, please stop, please stop. And your brain's like, don't let it stop.
And your body's thanking you too, because you're like, oh, I feel like better. My muscles feel better, whatever. I slept better. I had better, like, not drinking also, like, has improved my sleeping. I never realized that alcohol fucks with your REM so much.
That's what happened to me in the pandemic too, is I stopped drinking and started smoking weed because I was getting like depressed.
Right.
Like drinking was making me like, I'd be like, wouldn't feel good the next day until I poured my first cocktail. And I was like, oh, I think I might be developing something that I've been making fun of everyone in my family for having for 20 years.
So. I have it too.
And saying it's not a disease that's genetic.
Yeah. As they're eating.
You're just weak.
Midnight burgers every night.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh fuck. So I switched to weed. Stop drinking, start sleeping better, and then it's like going to sleep hungry sounds terrifying, but what we're really saying is going to sleep not full.
Yes.
And that's really all it takes. It's like you don't have to be like have pangs as you fall asleep and be like, this is worth, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels or whatever. Like you're just like, you're saying it's like break your brain thinks you need to be like, my brain thinks I need to be like painfully full and be like, now you can sleep for 14 hours or whatever. You
know? Hibernate.
Like, yeah. My brain is constantly in hibernation. It's like, you got to get a little more activity when
winter's
you wake up.
Winter's coming, bro.
I mean, that's the same approach I've also had now recently with like table bread. When bread comes out of the table, I don't eat it. And it's just like, that's just the decision. Mm. And it's also just like,
I don't miss it.
Like it's like, I don't miss it. And also as long as it's just like, that's the rule. Like I'm just not touching it. So much fucking easier.
And
where are you going for table bread?
What am I going for? Well, I'm not going to the restaurant called Table Bread. I don't know.
That's a great idea for a restaurant.
I don't know.
They just keep bringing out different olive oils and different kinds of butter.
Can I just say I'm going to now the best
table bread is a good idea.
One of the best courses of food I've ever eaten in my life. I went to French Laundry, which is one of the best restaurants in the country.
Gavin Newsom, right? Right, like right at the top of the pandemic.
Yes, that's where Gavin Newsom's career ended.
We were both there coughing into each other's face.
Yeah, exactly.
Smiling with champagne and Newsom's
exactly.
Like, seen here with comedy writer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no!
Exactly. And they do a course of single cow butters where it's like four...
I'm going to eat that.
Four different butters, each from individual cows. You can taste the difference between the
butters.
You
really taste the feelings.
Dude, we... single origin butter. I had that at Bluestone.
Blue Hill. That's my favorite restaurant in the world.
No, same. One of the best courses I ever had was at Blue Hill. They served us a wooden block with five nails sticking out of it, and on each nail was like a dirty vegetable.
Pulled minutes before you ate.
Yeah,
I've had that. Filthy old vegetables, and it was filthy young vegetables.
Yeah,
it was great.
And the carrot is like this big and has like visible dirt on it, and you eat it, and you're like, oh my god,
it's crazy.
Oh man, the earth is awesome.
Yeah, man.
the bounty it has provided.
Mother Earth. Thank you, Gaia, for your blessing. It's like, all of a sudden, you're like a super hippie, dude. Yeah.
I want to work here, man.
You know, they dry age beets like steaks. Oh. They pack them in beef tallow, and then they dry age them for like months. And I literally started eating it. I was like, this is a really good steak. And they were like, it's not a steak, it's a beet. Oh, and I was like,
God. I love a place like that that does like beautiful, like, hey, it's just fresh. But then the other thing I had was like a premature egg. And it was like, it's pulled from the chicken before they're ready. And it has like meat inside of it. And you're like,
did they take you?
You can see the mother's eyes.
You can hear the mother asks to watch you eat the egg while she weeps.
So they had
the chicken.
They had they were like, you know, foie gras is problematic because we have to force feed these geese all this extra food. And that it's, you know, that's how you make foie gras is basically force force feeding them. So what we've done is we've trained the geese to overeat themselves.
Like us.
Like us. And it works. And it's just as good, if not better, which is like so funny to me that their like moral improvement is psychological torture.
Right.
Right.
Well, they know if any of those geese are listening to this podcast, they're thinking, guys, we should be doing intermittent fasting and get back. We should retrain.
And we should make our feeding window when those humans put all that bread in the field for us to eat.
Oh, this table bread is killing us.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like being a Gitmo guard and being like, they put their own hoods on their head.
So we've made a lot of improvements.
You're like, no. The hoods were the problem. No.
We don't even have to blast Rage Against the Machine into their ears for 60 hours straight.
You started saying that, and I remembered that story of just like, they were like, and the birds come down and they feed, and then what we do is by alternating the field in which, and they're like, we got them. And
we make
like,
them desperate to overeat.
And I feel like there was one more step that I feel bad forgetting if it was even more humane, but I feel like there was something like, and we only kill the oldest something.
Something like that. No, they're wonderful. If you're eating meat, it's the best place you can eat meat.
Right. They're going to treat, again, there's a little bit of like that greenwashing where it's like, well, I ate grass-fed beef, so it costs more and the cow had
less
better
of a footprint.
Yeah. And you feel, and like you make yourself feel better, but that's like unfair for a lot of people can't do that, especially if you don't live in like a major.
It's one of the most expensive restaurants in the fucking country. Nobody can do that like with any regular, it's like a once in a lifetime kind of like meal.
I had to, it was a wedding gift.
Yeah,
I went
I went for a wedding too.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Oh shit, that it is a good wild. Wedding That is a great wedding.
A wedding where my
that's
friend
an expensive
speaking
wedding
of like opulence, my friend threw up to continue eating.
Oh shit, like full blown vomitorium shit.
Wow.
Goldenrod.
Speaking of which, wedding appetizers, guys.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you. That's where the appetizer really shines, right?
This is one of the biggest cultural travesties we experience is the wedding meal versus the wedding appetizer.
There's no greater disparity between one course and an entree. There, appetizers versus a wedding entree, it's like the disparity is huge. It's fucking huge. Even if it's an amazing place, there's no place that can make 100 fucking poached salmon dishes that are going to taste great.
Yeah. But you can definitely make 100 puff pastry bites with crab meat inside. Yeah.
Yes. It's a shocking failure that we keep force feeding everyone at these weddings these terrible entrees. Doug reinvented the wheel. Thank you, Doug.
There was no entrees.
No entrees.
I remember. I went to a wedding once where there was no entrees and they didn't tell us. And everyone was kind of like.
Or appetizers.
Yeah, well, there was like appetizers, but it was like at a buffet table. And it's like, I don't need to make a big plate of pasta and shit. I'll wait till the entrees. No, I was like.
I just got invited to a wedding. I'm going to tell you guys a couple of the warning sign details that were listed on this invite. First of all, they said, I mean, the biggest one, they said, bring your own chair. Which is like,
I'm sorry, what?
They're like, we're having a wedding in the park, or they rented a house, a property, but they were like, it's casual, so bring your own chair.
What?
Have you ever heard anything like this?
No. I mean, like, unless
it's not
like
a Grateful Dead parking lot.
Like, if it was like two beach bums getting married, I could be like, okay, I see.
Wait, is it at the ocean? Is it?
No, it's not at the ocean. It's at a farmhouse that they rented.
They can rent chairs too.
Yeah,
yeah. They have chairs placed there.
And then another detail, which is really very concerning, they were like, they said, light brunch served. What the fuck does the word light mean there?
Continental breakfast.
What does light mean in that sentence?
I think you can gather not enough.
Not enough light. To already tell me ahead of time, this will be light is very, very concerning.
Well, but you've been warned now. So there should be a bag of nuts in the car. There should be all
they suggested
of things.
You got to pack like a baby bag for Gregor. Yeah. It's like, don't worry. We have little mozzarella sticks. We can give him.
Did you bring his Cheerios?
It's like, your chair is a high chair. You brought your own
Give him his sucky. Give it to him. I don't want to fight right now. I don't want to fight. Just give him
if
the
cheer. Anyone objects, speak now or Cheerios! Cheerios!
Well, I don't think they're like, nothing pisses me off more than being at a wedding where they've skimped off on the food and the appetizers. It makes me so livid. And I've had this conversation with you because I'm like, you don't have to be fancy. Go to Costco, get
1,000 wieners.
1,000 wieners.
Cocktail wieners.
And they'll be as good as any other ones. You can put them in the fucking just, you don't have to be fancy. It's, this right. is not about spending money, really. It's like, it's about $500 will feed everyone here in a delicious, gross way.
And the way the cocktail hour always works at weddings is like post-ceremony, and the ceremony is for people's parents. Like, when we did our ceremony, it's got to be 20 minutes. We drink before it. And
yes.
Tiff and I took our pictures in the morning with everyone so that we wouldn't miss cocktail hour. Because you many weddings you go to where the bride and groom miss cocktail hour and all the groomsmen and
bridesmaids. Oh, and then you have that terrible moment where it's like the bride is like, oh.
She's lightheaded. Somebody
get her a frisée. Yeah.
Will someone get my wife a frisée? She's now my wife and she deserves one.
I'm here to protect her and her little belly.
The past hors d'oeuvres are what you like. That's where a wedding shines.
Can I tell you?
You can't do a cash bar.
Oh, of course no.
Because people are coming. They're driving, traveling far. Gonna give you a gift, ideally if you're classy. And it's like the unwritten rule is you can get fucked up and you can get full.
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe you'll get
a cool picture of you dressed up.
Hopefully you get some nice fun dancing after.
And so here's the thing about that is my argument, because you can say, well, that's still a lot of money. And for some people, that's just too much. Even if it's extra $500, that's way too much. I would say that if you can't afford to have cheap booze, you can provide fucking Popov's plastic vodka.
Yeah, you can put out like gallons of vodka and a bunch of soda water and a bunch of
mixers,
limes
and fucking frozen hot dog weenies.
Yeah.
Then maybe you shouldn't have it.
You shouldn't have it. Like, you don't need to shrink the amount of invites.
Right. Yeah. Because like everything else is just, it's a bummer. You'll be able, like if you have a fucking Bluetooth speaker, you'll have music there. Right. That's enough.
No one will bless your marriage. Your marriage is doomed. Yeah.
Do not skimp on those things, and people will remember
just
you forever
remember
for
that
being married.
Going to someone like, and I remember this when I planned my wedding, is like going to someone's wedding is doing a huge favor to them.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Flying to fucking Cabo for 3 nights.
Oh, so now it comes out?
No, I mean like
now it comes out.
It's a big ask to have someone come. It's not a huge favor, but it's a big ask to say come 100%. To my wedding.
Yes.
So you kind of have to give it back a little in terms of
food. I hope you felt taken care of in Mexico.
Yeah. And the bare minimum you can do.
I drank half that barrel of tequila.
No, it was amazing. Dan's wedding was case in point. I mean, like the food was fucking fantastic. There was no shortage of it, and there was a fucking barrel of tequila.
There was an endless barrel of tequila
next to a water bottle. Like it was.
they unbeknownst to us just kept refilling the barrel.
They didn't even plan that. Like,
no, they were just like, we like you guys. We'll just keep refilling the.
We thought we had one that was like impossible to finish.
Right.
We were like, I was like, no way. That thing is. I've been topping off all my margaritas from the bar with just raw tequila off the dome out of this barrel, and it's never ending. And it's like, oh, we've been refilling it secretly. It's like, we got a lot of people out here who like to. To accomplish weird drinking things.
Oh, no, I challenged myself to finish it.
This is a drunk
the Gabers impossible
at,
task.
Drunk Gabers at 3 a.m. just talking to the barrel, being like, I don't know how you do it. But every time I come back, you're
full. He was butt naked when he said that.
Bitch, I'm going to finish you tonight. I can't do it. I can't beat the barrel.
It was one of the several times I almost died at Gregor's wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gabers got quite the stinger. Yeah. He was like,
would have been such a bummer if Gabers was paralyzed at your wedding.
That's what I said. I'm like, I made the joke. I was like, it would no longer be the weekend of your wedding. It would be the weekend I got paralyzed. And it was like also my birthday.
Yeah.
Like it also happened to be my birthday. So stars were like crazy ass thing. It's like Gabers got paralyzed on his 35th birthday at Gregor's wedding or whatever.
everyone was like, yeah, though that ocean's too strong to go in. Not for the lifeguard.
Same thing Gabers says to the waiter who goes, that's a lot of food.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. How about if I go head first into this fucking reef?
Same thing I say to my friends at the beach when they're like, you should put on some sunscreen. I'm like, bro, I'm fucking Italian.
And it's like, I'm so
sunburned.
Then
you look like
so
an actual
full,
salami.
So my neck is broken. It's like, I'm like, what'd you prove, Gabrus? What'd you prove?
I'm stronger than the sun.
If you, like when you go to a wedding and they don't deliver on the, and like the bar is low quality wise, but there is still an expectation.
As long as you're drinking.
I also think it does seem to be a background thing. Like there's like here's the thing.
Expectations.
I don't get that. You don't get. I don't think you get not enough food at a Jewish wedding or not enough food at an Italian wedding.
No, no, no. As a matter of fact, I feel like
it's usually the people with money too that I've noticed. It's been like, it's just a big premium on drinking, maybe, because maybe there's a kind of, but like not enough food.
Yeah.
I've been at a couple of those where I'm like, there's money being spent here. You just chose to not emphasize enough food. I've been at weddings where I've been like, I'm ordering Domino's pizza to this party and I'll be the hero. And I couldn't get it because it was in fucking Malibu and I couldn't get service. But people were starving. Wait, it was gorgeous.
You just reminded me of this fucking wedding we went to in like upstate in the Hudson Valley. It was my childhood best friend. It was his wedding. I gave a crushed a best man speech. And later on, where his planned after party was like, hey, because we all shared like a house on this awesome property. And he was like, we're going to have the after party at the house, just so you know. It's like, great, we have a yard. It's like, that's amazing. He goes, and I just need one favor from you guys in the house. When the party starts winding down, somehow you guys need to go get like $300 worth of McDonald's items. And we were like, okay, we'll figure out. A dude that we were with, I was blasting. He's like, I'll handle it. He gave an employee of the place $50 who was sober to drive him to and from. We all threw down cash. All partying at this house party after a wedding. It's now like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And our friend Ram walks in with a tray of McDonald's into a party, and everyone was like, it's like, and because pizzas is like one thing, and that's also gives you the fucking feel like of a slumber party. Yeah.
McDonald's also does it.
Yeah.
Also, this is a signature Nicole move. My wife has ordered large amounts of McDonald's to parties. Just been like, she gets like a hankering for it, and she's like, I want fries.
Yeah.
It's like, I want a Coca-Cola and I want a fucking nuggets. And then she'll just, to her, like, that money doesn't exist. That's like, I got $200 of McDonald's coming. Yeah. She's done it three or four times.
That's so awesome.
And it is there. It's always the best.
It's always a win. Because you can pass on it if it's not for you. Right. But like, shit arriving late at night that you're not expecting is always a dream.
That's a special time to eat fucking shitty food. I like that.
Oh, yeah. When it's like a big...
Once or twice a year. McDonald's
another wedding
like
I went to, at the end of the wedding, after all the dancing, he's on the way out, there was a food truck parked outside. But this food truck was so specific. It just had heat lamps and like steam drawers.
Uh-huh.
And it was just... I don't know how this business works, but it's like... McDonald's quarter pounders in like one section, Taco Bell soft shell tacos, like Checkers spice seasoned fries.
No, are you sure you didn't dream this?
No, I swear to God, it's like some company that does it. They like bring like a lunch truck and they fill it with like all different
things you want. And I don't know, you're paying for the heating mechanism. Basically,
that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if that you get
because all those places wouldn't work together.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they don't. It's like it's like a third party company that wraps them all.
Stuff.
Yeah, and puts it all like
that is a fucking. So it's like, what are your favorite things?
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
And then a freezer for fucking Frosties.
Right. And then I imagine they probably have five trucks, and it's like, okay, someone needs to run the Taco Bell and get enough tacos for all the you know, like that's where they save their money and logistics. But I was like, I'd never seen it before. And I was like, I had two quarter pounders with cheese and two tacos.
What a dream.
That's like going
to get
like the
Baskin Robbins Dunkin' Donuts Taco Bell all in one, but it's really your own choosing.
Now all I can think about is finally getting an In-N-Out burger and McDonald's fries.
I
guess we know what we're doing after this.
Like, all right.
What about your heart, Doug? Fuck you. Starts tomorrow.
I'll take a statin tomorrow for tonight. I'll put a French fry in my vina cava. Jam mac sauce in my fucking aorta.
Yeah, fucking throw some broccoli up my asshole.
I went to a wedding that the appetizer hour, it's my favorite one I've ever done, was just a massive mashed potato bar. They had five different types of mashed potatoes, different potatoes, different flavorings, and then a giant spread of fixings. And it was just like basically like making like ice cream cones of mashed potatoes.
That's pretty rad. Tiff's cousin at a recent wedding had a mashed potato
bar. Mashed potato bar is kind of something that's been happening a little bit more.
What a dream.
Do you know,
it's not my first choice, but it's not bad.
A wedding we were all at, I think, that had a fucking fantastic appetizer spread, a friend of the pod, Adam Pally. He was like my first friend to get married to. And,
they spent on that wedding.
They spent on that wedding, which is, first of all, my first wedding I ever went to where I didn't have to like leave town. Because all my college friends were all Italians from Staten Island and Long Island, so they all got married in huge houses, like in like halls in New Jersey and Long Island.
This was just at Chelsea Piers, right?
Right, it was at Chelsea Piers, and they had a sushi bar. Too. I remember it was
the sushi bar. That's what I remember. Yes,
I remember a sushi bar, and another one was they were making little mini Reubens on like.
I remember the Reubens.
Yeah. It was like little mini Reuben. It was like, I was like, this is so.
I want to die here.
It was so awesome and so Jewish at the same time.
Yes.
And this has come up a bunch of times on the pod, but you, like you said before, you can rely on the Jewish people to serve you food. And Jewish, I learned this because of you guys and growing up on Long Island and being in comedy in New York. Catholics are like, come to our wedding. It's a 90-minute mass followed by a drive to it. And Jews are like, come to my wedding. It's like 8 minutes. We smash a glass and then food and booze starts coming hot. And it's like every Jewish wedding I've been to is like, and the rabbi is always like a little cooler, like frequently a little cooler.
Cool is an odd way to say it, but yes, cooler than a priest.
More normal than like a guy who's dressed like a wizard and is like, let me give you some marriage advice. A guy who's not legally allowed to be married.
And who's seen and or participated in a hell of a lot of pedophilia.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or at least turned a blind eye to it at minimum. Yeah, yeah. Didn't report it.
Fuck it.
The thin Catholic line. but like, and then like rabbis always have like, seems to have a more personal relationship.
Well, That's nonsense. That's the thing where it's like the rabbis have a shtick where they're like,
Your rabbi at your wedding was, I mean,
I didn't like him that much, but he had a shtick.
He had a shtick.
I guess the key is they have shticks and priests are like, I don't have a shtick. My shtick is that God talks to me.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, cool shtick, dude.
and this cool outfit.
You could pick a shtick if you're like shopping for a rabbi to do your ceremony.
It's more the Jewish people. It's like everyone needs a shtick, whatever you do. Sure. So it's like
it's survival.
Rabbis too.
The rabbis have like,
dance.
Like,
or we kill you. Write comedy.
Okay, time to play the piano real good.
Write jokes for people so they don't prosecute you. Persecute you.
We prosecute. Yeah.
Write jokes for lawyers.
I was Himmler's punch-up guy, and it worked out fine for me.
Yeah, I was. They
I basically punch people down the punch-up guy.
Himmler needed to do some benefits, and he wanted some laughs, so you know.
dudes, this we'll end on the Himmler laughs.
Yeah,
thank you, as always. I mean, that's how we wrap up every episode.
There's the Himmler bell.
Just finally glad to have Jewish people here making the joke. Rather than
first time I don't have to cut it.
It's in every episode. It's
been in 70% of the episodes, and no one's ever.
Emma knows to cut it out, but Emma, leave this one in because it's great.
Hey, Emma, can we get Doug and Dan to do some ADR on some of the old episodes?
We got two yids here. Let it fly.
Hi, we're Dan and Doug, and we approve this message. Yeah. You're like, gamers, we're not co-signing some sort of half-shot fucking anti-Semitic bit you put in your episode.
As a Jewish person, I give John Gabris a full permission to make Nazi jokes at all times.
That's not how it works, is like the protest outside my house.
I signed off on it.
Where can people find it's like a little... It's a little known company.
A little
you guys are doing like a little indie, like a little.
It's
like,
a little. It's sort of in the CISO space.
it's hard to find. It's not one of the largest conglomerates in the world. That's so fucking rad, by the way.
Thank you.
It's so frequently properties from your childhood are turned into something.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, this feels like a retread. Basic money. It feels like someone who didn't grow up with this made this.
Right.
And I felt watching the Chip and Dale's, the Rescue Rangers movie you guys wrote, and that Akiva directed, and I'm a huge fan of Akiva Schaffer, Lonely
Island.
Very talented dude, directed Pop Star, one of fucking favorite
movies. One of the
funniest
movies of the last 20 years.
One of the best recent comedies. Rescue Rangers is like clearly done by people who know the show, but also know that like we can't just do the fucking show again.
Yeah.
And that's what the angle that and I don't even want to spoil it here. Sure. I mean, the trailer kind of does, but I don't want to spoil it here. I highly recommend just throwing on Disney Plus and putting it on. Like, at minimum, I don't care if you hate half animated things, where at minimum, you'll be pleasantly surprised by the handling of an IP. like the way you guys, if you can hate it all around, but you can't argue that it's like, that's how you use an IP. That's like the minimum compliment. But it's also really funny and cool.
The original title of the movie was Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers Reboot Nobody Asked For.
hell yeah.
And it was that for quite a while. It's like truly like just
just that cover page got people to read it.
That's what made Akiva read it.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out.
It's sort of a Roger Rabbity kind of world, and it's like a sort of a mystery comedy. And
Chip and Dale is Mulaney and Sandberg.
Yeah, yep. Mulaney and Sandberg. Seth Rogen is a character in it.
A
Will
very
Arnett,
funny character. J.K. Simmons.
Keegan-Michael Key. It's a comedy powerhouse. And he is so funny. Yeah, of course, that's on stuff.
I don't know that.
We can take that out.
I don't know that we know that in it, because I've been reading people be like, I wonder who's in this movie.
Oh. All right, cut that.
Oh, but you know what? Either cut that or bleep all of the names. Yeah. It's really funny. It's like, what secrets are they saying?
And just keep, can we say that? I don't think we can say that.
Yeah, that's really
all right, so yeah, so just erase all that.
Great.
But yeah, the movie is it's a ton of fun. Tell your friends.
I feel like I can spoil like one area of jokes that made me like, just to show the level that you guys are working with, is that there is an Uncanny Valley reference in
like the villains in the movie, they're like a gang who work out of the valley, but it's the Uncanny Valley, and so they're all like old shitty kind of Beowulf Zemeckis CGI.
It's so awesome. Well, check that out on Disney Plus. Use promo code Mighty to sign up to get 30% off your first month at Disney Plus.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God, this is huge.
It would be promo code Mighty. They're like, we got this R-rated comedian with 8,000 listeners.
To really, and it has start nothing to do with the Mighty Ducks, which we do own.
Dan and Doug. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Is there anything else to plug? Is anyone reviving podcasts over here or anything like that?
No.
Leave this part in.
Yeah.
Make sure that this is the most interesting part.
Yeah. Just only air this part. Yeah. No. You guys have any plugs?
At Gregor Corp on Twitter.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you'll be tagged and all this shit will be in the show notes, their info. So find them there, bitches. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now, somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!